it's here and now, and why is there a barbershop in here? Oh, right, because it's that time of the week.
Here and now, 2016.
Thanks, boys.
One of these days I'm going to burst out with light a rose when
well,
I do that.
Well, it is time for our weekly 2016 political roundtable. This week in presidential politics, Donald Trump stays out in front of a crowded Republican field, which got even more crowded, 17 of them now. And Republicans are less than a week away from their first primetime debate.
So joining us, NPR's politics editor, Domenico Montanaro. Hi, Domenico.
Hi there. Thanks for having me, as always.
And Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on Sirius XM Radio. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks. Great to be back with you guys.
And Domenico, let's start with you. The first Republican debate, as Jeremy said, Thursday. 17 candidates in the race, only 10 allowed on the main stage. Although Fox said this week it is going to relax its rules and have those who don't make that 10 cut on the main stage do a separate debate earlier in the night, but that's not prime time. But anyway, look at those who made that big debate, those who didn't. Name a few who are going to surprise people for either being there or not being there.
Were you about to call that the kids' table?
I sort of was.
Fox debate? I kind of we're calling it, I think, appropriately the undercard, you know,
because
it leads off the next debate. But as somebody who's helped put together a lot of these kinds of debates, I kind of feel for the researchers, because can you imagine the turn after trying to figure out what the questions were in that first debate and then have to inform the anchors and all that for that second debate? It's going to be a little bit of a mess. But we right now have the top 10, and really there's a couple more polls expected before Tuesday when the cutoff is, an NBC Wall Street Journal poll and a couple of others, and they'll take the average of the top five national polls. And really, this is very arbitrary when you get down to looking at like 8 to 12, because we're looking at numbers like Ted Cruz and Ben Carson at 5.2, 5.1%, Chris Christie with the whopping 3.3%, John Kasich, governor of Ohio, who with an ad campaign has now surged to a massive 2.7%.
Is that going to let him on the stage? Do you think he would make it?
Well, it depends on what the other polls wind up showing. But at 2.7 right now, he would be number 10. Rick Perry is the one who kind of loses out here at 2.3%. And Rick Santorum and Bobby Jindal somewhat further down. But when you look at the margin of error, and looking at 8 to 12, you know, it really is very, very arbitrary. Kasich wants to really get on stage for this debate because he is the governor of Ohio. And it would be a big embarrassment to be left off the stage at a debate in his own state.
Well, Julie Mason, Donald Trump, who's going to be on that stage, he's leading in some of the polls, has said he's not going to prep. How are the what a shock.
Has he ever prepped? That's the point.
But how are the other candidates, what do they have to do to prep for him?
Well, they have to not engage with him. He diminishes everyone who tries to take him on and head on. And he's, you know, he may not prep, Robin, but he does have some political skills. He is very adept at taking a question and turning it into something he wants it to be. He can obfuscate as well as any governor, any member of the Senate. So he's not without some talent when he gets up there, even if he doesn't know, you know, how to reform Medicaid. So the challenge for the other candidates will be to just like let him do his thing and let him hurt himself and not try to engage with him. I kind of feel bad for Rick Perry. I mean, he was getting some real traction going after Donald Trump. He was doing a service for the whole rest of the field, and now he's knocked down of the varsity team.
Well, you know, he was – I want to play something, because this is an interesting question about whether you should engage with him or not engage with him. We heard from John Kasich this week after there was this story about one of Donald Trump's advisors who said in an interview with the Daily Beast that you cannot rape your spouse. He was responding to accusations that Trump's ex-wife, Ivana Trump, made during their divorce in the early 90s. Donald Trump spoke on CNN, distancing himself from the AIDS comment. But then Wolf Blitzer on CNN asked John Kasich what he thought.
Just leave him alone. I mean, obviously, it's a painful story for him, for his family, for his former wife. Leave him alone. That's my reaction.
What do you mean, leave him alone? I don't get that.
Just leave it. Just let it go. Move on. Go to something else. Talk about his policies on something else.
So, Julie Mason, is the best way to deal with Trump just to not engage like that?
Yes, it really is, because all it does is give Trump more consequence. It enlivens his supporters. And I would add that it appears that Trump's support is leveling off. He may have found a ceiling there. He doesn't seem to be, gaining more support. So he's just going to hurt himself. That seems to be a good gambit for Kasich.
Well,
There's another way to think about this, though. I mean, if you're somebody like Lindsey Graham, who's not on the stage, right, you want to try to engage with Trump so that you can get on to that meteor, that comet, so that you can get some of the attention, because he's sucking up all the oxygen right now. The other part of this, too, is that there's about a quarter of the Republican base, the primary voters, who are sort of this movable feast of voters who really liked Michelle Bachmann, liked Herman Cain, people like that, because they're a fighter. And when someone like John Kasich says, leave him alone, part of that is a political calculation, because he's hoping when Donald Trump does implode, if that ever does happen, that he could take up some of that fighter space, tell it like it is kind of space, because that's something that John Kasich would like to be as well.
Well, you mentioned taking up all the oxygen again. It's really quite astonishing. And so let's give a moment to Jim Gilmore. He is the former – perhaps people are saying, what? What
Who?
Happened with Jim Gilmore?
It'll be his only moment all year.
He didn't get one this week, even though the former Republican governor of Virginia, you know, announced his candidacy. Let's listen.
With so many candidates already in the race, some may ask, why am I running? That's a fair question and deserves a straight answer. I'm a candidate for president because our current Washington leadership is guiding America on a path to decline.
By the way, that was Julie's laugh. That was not in the commercial.
But Julie, you know, anybody who would drag themselves into what's become, you know, our political theater, you have to admire. So tell us who he is.
Well, he's the former governor of Virginia. He obviously has a lot of self-confidence if he is the 17th person into this race. It's crazy. I don't really see what he adds to the conversation. But, you know, hey, God bless him. There's room for everyone in this democracy.
Well, there he is. Okay.
On the other side, we should talk about the Democrats in the few minutes we have left. And Hillary Clinton announcing her climate change plan this week, calling for 33% of the nation's energy to come from renewable sources by 2027. Here she is in Des Moines, Iowa.
The reality of climate change is unforgiving, no matter what the deniers say. Sea levels are rising, ice caps are melting, storms, wildfires, and extreme weather are wreaking havoc. This is one of the most urgent threats of our time, and we have no choice but to rise and meet it.
Domenico, is climate change, do you think, going to be an important issue in this election? And I would also ask, how's Hillary Clinton doing on the Democratic side?
Well, probably not on a base in a general election. You know, it's not really an issue that rises in the polls. You do see it with younger voters as something that they definitely care about. But this is really a base play for Hillary Clinton. She needs to keep intact that Obama coalition and get those younger voters out to the polls. And this, like I said, is an issue that matters for them. Hillary Clinton today doing a very similar kind of thing when it comes to the base, going to the National Urban League Conference, where Jeb Bush, give him credit, was at as well, and talking about Black Lives Matter and that movement, and really trying to coalesce the Democratic base in a key primary. And, you know, she's still, you know, the polls are very early and don't tell us a whole heck of a lot, but she does still maintain very large leads, and you're not hearing quite as much about Bernie Sanders, who also had some difficulty with the Black Lives Matters movement, as we've talked about, where he got, you know, it was a difficult moment for him at the Netroots conference of liberal activists.
Right.
And Hillary Clinton has also struggled with that, where she went and said all lives matter just outside Ferguson, which was not the right thing to do for her base. So you're seeing Democrats struggle on some of these issues. Clinton's still the front runner.
Well, you mentioned Bernie Sanders. He live streamed an event on Wednesday night. The campaign said 100,000 people signed up to watch at viewing parties. Here he is talking about his signature issue, income inequality.
No, it is not acceptable that the rich get richer and everybody else gets poorer, that while we see a proliferation of millionaires and billionaires, we have more kids living in poverty than any other major industrialized society.
You know, you guys, it's interesting. Jeremy and I in the studio, we glance up occasionally, and there's on CNN Donald Trump saying, I'm winning in all the polls. But polls this week show that Bernie Sanders would beat Donald Trump in a general election. So just how's he doing?
Go ahead, Domenico.
Maybe Julie's pondering the idea of a Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders general election.
I just fainted.
As I was as well. I just picked Julie up off the floor. that is the unlikeliest of unlikely scenarios. But because these are party elections, this is something I think people have to realize. New Hampshire, Iowa, most of those delegates don't even have to go and vote for the person who winds up winning that state. So even if Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders were able to pull off wins in those places, the convention delegates and the establishment endorsements are really things that matter, as distasteful as that seems for folks who want to be able to have a direct democracy influence.
Julie Mason, we've just got a few seconds left, but final thought to you. I'm just going to ask you, who do you think is the sleeper candidate in the Republican debate? Who should we be watching? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Marco Rubio.
He's
primed for a comeback. Yeah, he's been a little quiet lately.
All right. Julie Mason, host of the Press Pool on Sirius XM Radio, and Domenico Montanaro, politics editor for NPR. You guys have been great. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.